Appreciate so much that good singing this morning. Thank Brother Dooley for his song leading today. We're so grateful to see each one here today, and we're thankful especially for those of you who are visiting with us. We especially are pleased you are here this hour. We had a wonderful stew supper last night, and I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I am so thankful for the good hands that went into making all of that wonderful stew, and especially to Brother Jim. I'm thankful to him for the good work that he did and his family in cooking the stew yesterday, and I'm glad that we had a good time last night. And it's that time of the year, you know, when we turn to friends and families and we start celebrating these holiday times, and I'm looking forward to the holidays this year. I hope you are as well. We're not too far away from Thanksgiving, and that's coming soon, and my family and I will be taking some time and going and visiting my parents down in Austin, and then around Christmas time we're going to go visit Mary Lynn's parents, and so I just wanted to let you know about that in case you were wondering where we might be during some of those times. And it's going to be an enjoyable time, and we're looking forward to having that holiday party too on the 12th of December. I can't believe we're already announcing things coming up in December because the year has just flown by, and then we have the new year ahead of us, in front of us. I'm so grateful that you have been putting some suggestions in the suggestion box for various different sermon ideas and questions for the question and answer period that we have about once a month on Sunday nights. And I'm grateful for those suggestions, and I want to encourage you to keep them coming. Please, if you have a suggestion, a sermon you would like to hear, or a topic that you would like to hear addressed, or if there's a question that you have, please take advantage of that suggestion box in the back, and please put as many things as you can. Even if you think, well, I don't think this is all of that important, go ahead and write it down and put it in there, because I will guarantee you that if you are thinking about it, someone else is thinking about it as well, and it will be a good study for all of us to think about whatever it is that you have on your mind, because somebody else is thinking about that, and it will be good for us to study it and to learn God's Word from it. So go ahead and keep those questions coming. Go ahead and keep those suggestions, those topics coming, and let's all work together to build a wonderful new year in the year 2016, and thinking about the things that you want to think about, studying God's Word together, listening to what God has to say about the things that we need to know and learn for our lives. This morning, we're going to begin a series of lessons, not necessarily consecutive Sundays, but every month or so, we'll have another lesson, kind of like we did the Ten Commandments. You remember we studied each one of those over a period of about 10 months, and we learned a lot about the Ten Commandments and studying those. We're going to start a series of studies on the Beatitudes that are found in Matthew chapter 5, and verses 1 through 10. And so I'd invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 this morning, and verses 3 through 10, or 1 through 10. And we're going to read together these Beatitudes, and then we're going to start on the first Beatitude this morning. So let's read together Matthew chapter 5, and verses 1 through 10. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I think we're all familiar with these wonderful sayings of Jesus that we refer to as the Beatitudes. This is the beginning of Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount that comprises Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And this sermon speaks about the character of those who would be members of God's kingdom. The citizens of the kingdom and what their character is. That is the topic. That is the subject that is under consideration here. And these Beatitudes are really introducing that to us. Jesus is really telling us something about who those are going to be that are part of His kingdom. Did you ever think about the word beatitude itself? The word beatitude is the idea of having a certain disposition or a certain attitude towards something. And that is something that we need to be. So as we're thinking about these beatitudes, we should be thinking, how can I be this person? How can I be the person who is poor in spirit? How can I be the person who is pure in heart? How can I be the person who is merciful, who is a peacemaker, who hungers and thirsts after righteousness? All of these things. How can I be that person? Because that's what Jesus wants us to focus on as we think about these Beatitudes. Each Beatitude has a particular form, and they all share this same form. There is, within the beginning of the Beatitude, a declaration of blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, etc., etc. There is a description then of the attitude itself that Jesus wants us to be. And so we see those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. And then finally, there is a disposition of blessing, that is, that which is promised to us if we will be these things that Jesus tells us to be. The fulfillment, if you will, of the Beatitude. They shall be filled. They shall see God. They shall be called sons of God. They'll be comforted. That's the fulfillment. That's the blessing or the disposition of blessing that is associated with these Beatitudes. So each one has this particular form. Well, let's think about this first Beatitude this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? That's the first thing we want to think about when we think about this Beatitude. The word poor, of course, has the idea of someone who is destitute. Someone who does not have this world's goods. Maybe he only has a few dollars to his name. He doesn't have riches. He may be a beggar, or he may be someone who is just in poverty. He is someone who is helpless and powerless to improve his own situation by virtue of what he possesses. Why? Because he is poor. He does not possess anything. But Jesus isn't saying here, blessed are the poor in this life's possessions or in this life's goods or something like that. That's not who he's talking about. He's talking about the person who is poor in spirit. The idea of being poor in spirit is one who is a beggar in relationship with his spirit. He recognizes that he is spiritually impoverished and that he does not have the resources to help himself spiritually, and that he needs to turn to God in order for there to be spirituality within his life. He is destitute of riches in relationship to his spirit. He is not a proud person. He is not a person who thinks he has it all. He is not a person who vaunts himself and lifts himself up. No, that's not the kind of person that is poor in spirit, but rather one who is helpless and powerless to improve his spiritual relationship on his own. He really sees his need, his deep down spiritual need for God within his life. In thinking about the meaning of this particular attitude, being poor in spirit, I consider Luke chapter 8 and verses 9 through 14, where Jesus compares and contrasts two different kinds of people. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Here we see a parable of some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I so much appreciated the good prayer this morning after the fruit of the vine. I appreciated all the prayers this morning, but especially the one after the fruit of the vine when the brother said, help us to partake of this fruit of the vine in a humble way. Oh yes, that is such a good thought, such a good thing to say, because we need to be poor in spirit, having that heart of humility, not vaunting ourselves up as this Pharisee did, saying, look at all the wonderful things I have done. No, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the attitude that Jesus is talking about when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, God tells us that there's two kinds of people that he calls within this world. One kind is going to be amenable, accepting of the gospel of Christ, and the other kind is not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 26 through 29, the Apostle Paul calls attention to these two extremes. He says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things which are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Oh, how we need to learn that lesson. That the things of this world, the things that men consider to be wise, the things that men consider to be strong, the things that men consider to be noble, those are not the things that God values. No, he values humility. He values the one who is poor in spirit. Think about those two blind men in Matthew chapter 20 and verses 29 through 34. Matthew chapter 20 and verses 29 through 34. Two blind men who want to be healed of their blindness. And we see Jesus on the road to Jericho, or out of Jericho. A great multitude followed him, verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Now here's a couple of men who by unfortunate circumstance really were helpless. Blind men. In that day and time, being blind was a terrible situation to be in. You couldn't work. You couldn't provide for yourself. You couldn't see. You couldn't travel very far. Blindness. And yet, they had enough knowledge. They had enough vision. They had enough spiritual sight to see that it was Jesus who could heal them. Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitudes warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be. Oh, how we need Jesus to open our spiritual sight. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Poor in spirit. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? That's the attitude of being poor in spirit. That's the attitude that Paul said we all ought to have in Romans chapter 7 and verse. But then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's think about this blessing that comes upon the poor in spirit, this disposition of blessing, if you will, that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew's gospel sets forth Jesus as the king and his teaching as the way into the kingdom. His disciples are citizens of that kingdom. And Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now in Matthew's chapters 5, 6, and 7. It is Jesus preaching the characteristics of those who would be citizens of the kingdom. And we learn from studying the book of Matthew exactly what Christ's kingdom is. Matthew chapter 16 and verses 18 and 19. There, after Peter said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now look at what Jesus said in that context. First of all, he said, here is the foundation of the church, the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus," Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so Jesus is that foundation. But then notice he says, on this rock, on this foundation of the fact of his messiahship, the fact of his being the Son of God, "I will build my church." Jesus promised to build something. He promised to build the church. And what is the church? He says then to Peter in the next verse, "I will give to you the keys of the kingdom." You see, the book of Matthew identifies what the kingdom is. The kingdom is the church. The church is the kingdom. And when we listen to the words of the teaching of the kingdom and apply those to our lives, we can be what God wants us to be. We can be His kingdom. We can be His church, His people, because we're listening to Jesus. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You see, that's the kind of people that is going to comprise the kingdom. The poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a possession here. They're going to possess God's kingdom. Why? Because they are of that character. They are going to compose God's kingdom. Why? Because they are being poor in spirit. What is the relationship between the poor in spirit and the kingdom of heaven? It is a relationship of inclusion. God is not going to leave out those who are poor in spirit. They are going to be part of His kingdom. It is a relationship of belonging. Those who are poor in spirit are never going to wonder where they belong. They're going to know because they belong to the kingdom. It is a relationship of being, because it is those who are poor in spirit who are being what God wants them to be as part of His kingdom. In thinking about this relationship, I'm reminded of several things that Jesus did. Let's turn to John chapter 13 for just a moment in verses 4 and following. You see, because the King of the kingdom Himself is poor in spirit. Look at this story in John chapter 13, starting in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, "Lord, are You washing My feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to Him, "You shall never wash My feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash My feet, you have no part with Me." Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to have his feet washed, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For He knew who would betray Him. Therefore He said, "You are not all clean." So when He had washed their feet, this is verse 12, taken His garments and sat down again, He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than him, he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now think about who Jesus was. Poor in spirit, and yet He is the King of the kingdom. One cannot be in the without being poor in spirit. One cannot be in the kingdom without having the character of being poor in spirit. And it is those who are poor in spirit truly dedicated to the kingdom of God. Let's think about some practical lessons associated with this beatitude. First of all, as those who are poor in spirit, we need to recognize our complete dependency upon God. Consider what Paul said in Titus chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appear, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You see, it wasn't within our power. We were, as Paul said, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. It was Jesus who came to save us and who did save us. And we need to be poor in spirit. We need to recognize our dependence upon God's mercy and grace. Secondly, we must consider everything loss in comparison to Christ. The poor in spirit knows that he has and owns nothing that is of any true value, that only Jesus has what he needs. Paul said, "Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Now that's being poor in spirit, understanding that everything is loss so that we may gain. Being poor in spirit means that we must lose self, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake." Being poor in spirit means that we need to consider others before self. "Make full my joy," Paul says, "that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself. Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others." Philippians 2:2-4. And being poor in spirit means that we submit ourselves to one another. "Likewise, you younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. For God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble." 1 Peter 5 and verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are blessed. They are those who truly know God's kingdom because they are part of it. They are that character that God wants them to be. Are you looking for that kingdom of God this morning? Are you looking for that place where you can be with God, fellowship in love, receiving the great blessings that God has to offer, being poor in spirit? Come to the Lord this morning in faithful obedience to His will. Give yourselves over to Him. Don't lift up your life of pride and arrogance, thinking that you can do it on your own, thinking that you have what you need for yourself. Oh no, that's not what God wants. He wants us to submit to Jesus and to His will. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Why not simply obey the voice of Jesus and become a child of God? Why not give your life to Him this morning? While together we stand and sing the song of